Welcome here to Wellness with Whiting, here exclusively on WakeUpCallDT.com, on the Wake Up Call DT free app, and on Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, the free podcast on iTunes. However you're listening, thank you so much for tuning in. Obviously, it all happens on WakeUpCallDT.com, where you can listen, watch, and read. Under the team page, you just go to Dr. Tim Whiting, chiropractor, and that will give you a direct link to everything that's going on with Tim. You get a picture of Tim, the tips that he has on the right side of the page, get information on how to get in touch with Tim, either by email or by phone, to schedule an appointment with Dr. Tim Whiting, who is with Sterp Chiropractic and Wellness Center. And you can also have an opportunity to hear these shows as well as during fantasy football season to get all of your injury updates. So for all my fantasy football players, which I'm proud to say we have six leagues, about 60 owners, so they can all go there, but we don't turn anybody down. Anyone in Central New York and even outside of Central New York area, around the country and the world, if you want to come over and get your fantasy football information, you do it on the team page under Dr. Tim Whiting, chiropractor. And with that, with the Wake Up Call injury report being ushered in this year and its inaugural season because of Dr. Tim Whiting and my partnership with him, I think it's only fair that we talk about injuries on top of showing you those fantasy players that you care about and what's going on with them and their health. So before we get started with anything, though, always fair and always right back in the old times to today to say how you doing, Tim.
Good, and thanks for having me again. Dan's pretty good experience so far, and I'm excited to keep going with this.
Absolutely, and starting off, one thing that we talked about off the air was, you know, when somebody tears an ACL, it's thought of as the death penalty for a season, that you're going to lose somebody. Now, Adrian Peterson did it at the beginning of a season, but the way he came back was so rapid, so fast, and he was so effective coming back. How do you kind of talk with people when they look at Adrian and they say, okay, well, Adrian, you know, he cut his time down by this many weeks or this many months, so I'm going to do it too, Tim. You're gonna help me get there. You're going to help me figure out who I need to talk to. How do you respond to people who see an athlete bounce back quickly like an Adrian Peterson, thinking that everyone's body's the same and they'll do the same?
Yeah, so if you look up his rehab, and I'm going to give you a link to post up and kind of see how they did it, what they did. The biggest thing is to get active as soon as you can. And even his physical therapist and his team made sure to note that not everyone is Adrian Peterson. He is an athletic animal, to say the least. His body, his genetics, almost like a Bo Jackson, but even Bo couldn't come back from an injury. So Adrian is definitely unique, so not everyone is the same. With that being said, you still can come back from an ACL injury. It isn't the death sentence that everyone thinks it is. It just takes time, proper rehab, and looking into it and making sure that you go through the right steps and you have the proper time frame for your rehab.
There was an interesting rehab that Adrian Peterson had where there was a lot of water work. Can you just go into that a little bit? That when we talk about an ACL tear, something that helped him kind of come along a little bit quicker was the way that his rehab was a little bit different than what you're used to.
Yeah, so to go kind of from beginning to end, you know, you're going to have your sideline work up right then and there after injury, see what's going on. Usually pretty good tests to show you if the ACL is damaged. They'll go right in for imaging, and then being an athlete, you're going to be set for surgery. There really is not many ways to come back from an ACL tear without going surgical, because you need it fully intact to do what you do. With that being said, he went into what they call prehab, so you'll be training your leg before your surgery to strengthen everything, because after surgery you're going to have some deterioration, some atrophy, so you want to make those muscles strong in the area. What was unique with him afterwards was the use of what's called a HydroWorks pool, and his physical therapist had him on a regimen very quickly after surgery to get him in this pool, moving And in walking on a treadmill in water, so he had a lot of the weight taken off of him, so he didn't have that constant jamming and jarring of his knee on the injury. He could do it without pain, and that was the biggest key. You want to have full range of motion without pain as you're going through rehab. So the HydroWorks pool is what got him going. They had him walking, got him up to jogging, and then had a lot of different hot tub ice baths and other stretching things to go along with it. But I think the HydroWorks pool was a big step for what he did and how he recovered faster than others.
We hear about ACL, MCL, PCL, LCL, not so much, but let's go down the line with them. You know, some people know, I mean, obviously ACL has become more front and center with a lot of injuries that have happened, the anterior cruciate ligament, but the MCL and the PCL, when you look at rate of time that it takes to rehab and come back, let's put them in order and kind of educate people on the difference among ACL, PCL, and MCL, since they come up so much now, especially in fantasy football. You know, when people are trying to track teams, they're always thinking about that.
So always going to depend on the extent of the injury, whether it's a partial tear, a full tear, and what sport the athlete is. So it is all dependent. Overall, though, you're looking easiest to come back from would be a single MCL, which is on the medial side of your knee. It's a ligament that runs there. It's superficial, less invasive surgery if they need to do surgery. And that can be rehabbed a little bit more without surgery. So that could be the quickest one you come back from. Next would be PCL, as it might not be surgical again. Athletes will probably go for surgery, which will be a little bit longer rehab. But it's not, I don't want to say as needed, but it kind of almost isn't as needed, as important as the ACL is in most injuries. You'll see PCLs a lot in contact when people are hitting the ground with their knee, like hockey a lot of the times, or football if they're jamming their knee into the ground. You'll see that injury. And then ACL is, again, the one that gets the most news and the one that we know about the most. But that's probably the longest one that you'll have to go through because of the importance of it, because of how strong people's legs are, the motion that it has to keep in check from move to move, step to step. It's under the most strain, and it's the most important one in the knee for a lot of sports. So that's going to be the hardest one to come back from and the longest time period for rehab and recovery.
That coming from Dr. Tim Whiting of Stirp Chiropractic and Wellness Center. You can get all of his information on the team page, Dr. Tim Whiting Chiropractor. So if you just go on to wakeupcalldt.com, where a lot of you are right now, go to the team and down to Dr. Tim Whiting Chiropractor. We'll get you all of his information, phone number throughout the show, as well as address to get there, and Tim's email, which he will give out if there's an emergency situation of somebody that needs to get in touch with him. So we'll handle all of that on the other side of this break. Right now, listen to a tip from Dr. Tim Whiting and so much more, and we'll come back here talking about ACLs and getting into some of these injuries and what they may mean for some players out there as we move forward here in an early fantasy football season, and obviously for people that have these injuries outside of sports, to talk to you about that as well. And in something about ACLs where, when you think about surgery, there's kind of an interesting part to that, that if you're not playing a major sport, there may be a different rehab for you. So we'll talk about that in just a minute.
Hi, this is Dr. Tim Whiting with your tip of the week. Today we're talking ACL injuries. ACL injuries are becoming more common in sports today, often seen in basketball, football, and soccer, and occurring during non-contact incidents such as landing from a jump, planting, or quick cutting motions. Recent studies show that greater strength of the external rotators of the hip give you greater control of your knee and decreased risk of injury. Talk with your fitness professional on which exercises will help you train these muscles. For more tips and info, look for my link on wakeupcalldt.com. This is Dr. Tim Whiting of Stirp Chiropractic and Wellness Center. Here at Stirp Chiropractic, we strive to provide our patients with the highest quality of care in a comforting and welcoming atmosphere. We are not simply pain doctors. We spend time looking at the whole body and address each patient's needs and goals. This usually includes chiropractic adjustments, muscle work, and tips on nutrition and supplementation that fits each patient's needs. We want to develop a plan that promotes overall health and wellness and focuses on future injury prevention. Our office is located at 1628 West Genesee Street in Syracuse. Please give us a call at 315-472-7128 with any of your chiropractic or wellness needs.
Back here on Wellness with Whiting, exclusively on Dan Tortora Broadcast Media's WakeUpCallDT.com. The free WakeUp Call DT app you can download by going to WakeUpCallDT.podbean.com/mobile. You can also find the free podcast on iTunes by typing in Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora in the podcast section. So however you're listening in, thank you to the tens of thousands of people that continue to come in, listen to all of the shows that we do, listen to Tim Whiting's tips that you can hear on the team page, Dr. Tim Whiting, chiropractor on WakeUpCallDT.com, and for everyone interacting on Facebook and Twitter that love your tips, love the things you've been able to put forward. Tim is one of the fastest growing people that I've ever promoted anywhere on Facebook or Twitter when it comes to social media. So before we get into the ACL, let's share with everyone how they can connect with you on social media and how they can get in touch with you even outside of that, because I think it's important to know that you've definitely got a footing and it's growing, but when people need to reach you, how they can.
Yeah, so a lot of my information is right on your page under my name. You can see my number, my office, and my email. But for those of you just listening in that don't see that, you can get a hold of me at email anytime. It's probably one of the best ways to connect with me. So that's T Whiting, WHITING 44 at gmail.com. Again, that's probably the best way to get a hold of me. Also, if something urgent comes up and you do need to give somebody a call, my phone's always open. You can call my cell phone. It's 315-224-8411. And then on Twitter, it's Dr. Whiting 44.
And then as far as Facebook, there's a STIRP Chiropractic and Wellness Center page. You know, let everybody know how they can interact with you either by that or, you know, on Facebook in general.
Yeah, on Facebook, again, just search Timothy Whiting. My name will come up, and then you can see how to get over to STIRP Chiropractic and Wellness Center. That's our Facebook page where I work out of, and I'm constantly updating, putting things on there, tips on health, wellness, injuries, especially back pain and injury prevention stuff. So we're always updating that, so you guys can check that out too.
Yeah, I think that's important to know because you're constantly trying to find unique ways to get different things in there, you know, to talk to. I know you put something up about nurses recently and what's going on, you know, if you need some help in that respect. And I know that you're also going and looking through and finding, you know, mothers who are pregnant, you know, what they can do in that situation, as well as if there's back pain and how you handle that. So there's a lot of different things that go on throughout the year. You know, you're out there golfing, you feel like you pulled something in your back, got to make a phone call to Dr. Tim Whiting. And at the same time, in the winter, if you're shoveling and, you know, feel something in your back, feel something, you know, going on with your body in general. The good thing about what you do, Tim, is that as much as you're a chiropractor, you're a student of science. You're a student of your game, so to speak. And what made you want to kind of get to know a little bit of everything? Because I've come to you about, you know, an arm issue. You were on our field for flag football with someone that had, they thought they had an ankle issue. I mean, you've been able to give people advice that's been helpful in numerous areas outside of just being a chiropractor. Where does that come from, and how confident are you in being someone who's knowledgeable across the board and being able to at least give you the basics of how you can help your body if it's not your back?
Yeah, so as a chiropractor, we actually have a lot of hours in anatomy, physiology, diagnosis, and treatment of many conditions. We're known mostly for back, neck issues, and that's our bread and butter, so to speak. But we also deal with anything that has a joint. So from your fingers all the way down to your toes, we can kind of address all that, as well as a lot of training in nutrition. So, and I put in extra time. I research things. I look things up on my own so I can know things. You get patients that come in that throw questions at you, and if you don't know it, then I'm one of the ones to go and look it up or refer you to the best source possible. My goal is to educate people, to get everybody more aware of their bodies and how to take care of themselves naturally. So, yeah, a lot of it is looking to new people for information, looking to internet, to books, to a lot of resources, and educating myself so I can educate my patients. So it's a lot of drive on my end to learn more and to help more people when the questions arise.
The typical notion of a doctor is that they think they're always right. They know all the information. They're not going to send you to another expert because they are the expert. You have a lot of humility and your honesty, your humility, the way that you seem to care from the first moment that you meet somebody and helping them. And you don't make excuses. You describe what you can, but you've never told me something with my body or what I can do that hasn't been helpful. It's not like you were just guessing or just telling me to do, somebody says they can give you directions and they tell you to make two lefts and a right and you end up getting lost somewhere in a cemetery. So, and I can honestly say that to the lady that found the Ferris wheel at the fair, I'm very happy that she did because I gave her directions. I didn't know where the heck I was sending her. But, you're not a doctor who lies, and you're not a doctor who has this huge ego. How important is that for you, and do you see a lot of that in your field?
Well, I think it's huge for me. It's going to eventually reflect upon you as a doctor, as a professional, and as a human being. I don't like being lied to. I don't like getting things wrong, getting things messed up. So I think for me, from the experience, from seeing that happen in all fields, not just chiropractic, I'm sure it happens in chiropractic as well as it does in other medicine, orthopedics, what have you. But I don't think one thing is the be-all, end-all, and I'm willing to take my best shot at it and try to figure something out with you. And if it's not working, then it's not benefiting you or me to keep doing things with you and to keep you going through this certain program if it's not working. So I'm going to look to the next best person that maybe this person can help you or maybe this person can help you. I'm not greedy. I'm not here to make money. I'm here to make people get better, and that's what's going to reflect on me in the long run. Yeah, maybe I only saw you for a couple visits and made less money than I wanted to, but it's not about that. It's about getting you better in the long term. That patient's going to be more willing to send people to me and trust me because I got them to the right person and got them help when other people didn't.
Absolutely, and that's a big reason why we're working together is because right off the bat I could tell that you're a go-getter that's willing to put yourself out there just to help people. And when it's about helping people and not about making the almighty dollar, you end up making money, but having a good reputation and obviously, living your dream. Where did this dream come from? As we get set to talk more about fantasy football real quick here, we've discussed a little bit of how you got to where you are and working with Dr. Michael Stirp and his opportunity he gave you. But where does the passion come from wanting to help the community and help everybody, which we have discussed a little bit, but you're in Central New York. This is the city that you grew up in, the area that you grew up in. What makes you wake up in the morning exhausted, having worked the last 4 days, and in your case right now, I mean, you're picking up extra shifts, you're helping extra, you're helping with, Dr. Stirp's patients and whatnot. What keeps you going the next morning?
It's really coming back to the patients and seeing the feedback from them, getting positive feedback, letting them know that, hey, what you tried yesterday was great. I haven't had this problem in my knee in 3 days. Or, oh my God, since you gave me this information, I haven't had digestive issues. So it's the little things that seem minimal to others, but if you're going through it every day, it's a lot to you. So when I get the gratification and from my patients, that's what keeps me going every day. It keeps me wanting to stay sharp, stay on my toes, and help them as little as it may seem at the time. It can maybe change somebody's life and make them a little bit happier. So a lot of it comes from that, and just my natural my eagerness to help people in general. That's how it always started, and I got into chiropractic because it was a easy hands-on way for me to help people right then and there. And so that's every day I can go do what I love and help people out and get them better, get them feeling better, and keep their life going.
With helping people get better, feel better, ACL injuries, we talk about the long rehab, and you had discussed it before, that when it's a ligament injury and you are an athlete and you decide to have surgery, that your rehab is going to be a little bit longer. You had said something to me when we had been talking that if you're not an athlete, you don't necessarily have to surgically repair your ACL. Go into that with me. I mean, do people elect to not? I mean, if you're just going about your normal daily life, and maybe you're a lawyer or, you know, or a janitor or somebody out there. Are there people that say, I tore my ACL and I'm not going to repair it, and can they still be okay?
Yeah, so a lot of it's always going to come down to everyone's individual case, and you're going to talk with your orthopedist and your surgeon to see what's best for you. But there are situations where surgery isn't needed. If it's a partial tear versus a full tear, and you're a 35-year-old woman that maybe doesn't participate in a lot of taxing sports, there might not be a need for you to have surgery and go through the risks and complications of the surgery, having scar tissue and maybe getting other problems if it's not needed. Your ACL is a ligament that checks excessive motion a lot of times from running, stopping, planting, things like that. So if you're not doing that in your normal day-to-day life, it may not be absolutely necessary. When you're younger, most people are often going to do that because they're going to be playing pickup basketball games or volleyball leagues or other things like that, that they want to make sure that their knee's in the best shape that they can, and that makes sense. But again, if you're older, have a more sedentary lifestyle or less taxing lifestyle on your body, it's not necessarily the be-all, end-all option. So it would be something to talk with your surgeon about and see if it's necessary and if the benefits outweigh the risks or not.
We'll take a step aside here. Wellness with Whiting on WakeUpCallDT.com, the free Wake Up Call DT app, and on iTunes, free podcast, Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora. When we come back, Tim and I, Dr. Tim Whiting, chiropractor, you can get on his page, the team page. Just go to the team tab on WakeUpCallDT.com and click on Dr. Tim Whiting, chiropractor, which I know many of you have because you're looking up your injury report for fantasy football. You've been playing the tips that Tim has on dehydration, ACL, ankle sprains, as well as why fad diets don't work, which is a year-round thing that people are always trying to figure out something through that, but there are better ways to go about it. So make sure you go to the page for everyone that has. Thank you so much. We'll be back on the other side of this break to talk about Terrell Hunt and why an Achilles injury can take a guy out for a season, and then we'll also talk about fantasy football and see if this injury report really is accurate to most of these injuries. That'll be right coming up next here on Wellness with Whiting.
This is Dr. Tim Whiting of Sterp Chiropractic and Wellness Center. Here at Sterp Chiropractic, we strive to provide our patients with the highest quality of care in a comforting and welcoming atmosphere. We are not simply pain doctors. We spend time looking at the whole body and address each patient's needs and goals. This usually includes chiropractic adjustments, muscle work, and tips on nutrition and supplementation that fits each patient's needs. We want to develop a plan that promotes overall health and wellness and focuses on future injury prevention. Our office is located at 1628 West Genesee Street in Syracuse. Please give us a call at 315-472-7128 with any of your chiropractic or wellness needs.
Back here on Wellness with Whiting on WakeUpCallDT.com, the Wake Up Call DT free app you can get by going to WakeUpCallDT.podbean.com/mobile, MOBILE. You can also find us on iTunes. The free podcast is Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora. The name of the show is the name that you search. Right now, Terrell Hunt, quarterback, Syracuse, week one. He goes down. A lot of people happy with Eric Dungy so far. 4 touchdowns in 2 games to start, no interceptions. But we go to Terrell Hunt. He will not put he's down on the field in week one against Rhode Island. They get him up. He doesn't put any pressure down, is hanging his right leg, and ends up being an Achilles injury to that right side, which would make the most sense because he's putting no pressure on it whatsoever. And so we could see that. And we could see there was something wrong with his foot or his leg when he was coming off. But it ends up being an Achilles injury that takes him out for the season and he has to have surgery. What type of Achilles injury will do this to you to put him in a position where there's no way he can come back this year?
So really when it comes to the Achilles, the tendon itself is the few go down the back of your leg, that big, thick center at the base of your foot. That's your Achilles tendon. That's what connects your calf muscles to your foot. And it's huge. It's important in mobilization. You're not going to be able to get around if that is not intact. You're not going to be able to press your foot down. Imagine if you're pressing on a gas pedal. That's that motion that creates through that huge tendon there. The problem, if it was the muscle, not a big deal. You got a calf strain. You can rehab it. You can heal it. He'll be back 6 to 8 weeks, maybe less. But when it's the actual tendon where that muscle ties into the bone and creates that motion, now you're looking at a big injury. It's a large tendon. It's going to take probably surgical repair to reattach that. And those injuries often happen at what's called an avascular zone in the tendon. So that means that there's already no blood supply or very little blood supply there, which complicates things for healing. You need blood to heal. It needs to bring in nutrients and blood supply to it to promote proper healing. So that's an issue going down the road. It's an odd injury for a young kid to have, and it's terrible that he had it. You usually see this in your weekend warriors. The 45, 50-year-old playing pickup basketball goes to plant to jump because that's what that muscle is going to do, is help you propel you off the ground. And that's when that happens. This is odd. He went to plant as in a scramble, and it was a freak accident, and it ruptured. So it's bad to see in a young guy, but hopefully he's young and fit enough where he can come back from it with proper rehab.
Left leg injury followed by a right Achilles issue. Now that he's had, speaking of Terrell Hunt, quarterback for Syracuse, now that he has had an injury to his left side and his right side, lower body, how likely is it for him to be able to come back from something like this? I mean, he can go for a sixth year. He can ask the NCAA for a medical redshirt. But when you see an injury on his left leg that took him out for a season and now his right Achilles that takes him out for the following season, can a body, and I know you said it's case by case, but how do you look at his body moving forward, knowing that he's injured both sides?
So, I mean, he is young. He's in great shape physically. You look at him. So, does he have a chance to come back? Absolutely, he does. And he came back with the left leg practice this year after breaking it. Got through practices, the preseason games, and everything without any issues. So, he already showed he can keep that up. Yeah, he didn't tax it throughout the whole season. We didn't get to see that. But I have faith that he would have been through the season without any issues. Could that have maybe led to the Achilles injury on the other leg, maybe from altered gait, from walking differently, having to favor his right leg? That could have had something to do with it. But again, he has the ability to come back from this. I think he's young enough that he can at least get back and see. I think it'd be worth a shot to see if he can come back, honestly. I think he's such a talented athlete that it'd be worth getting him on the field and seeing again if he can come back. So I think it's possible for sure. He just needs to go through the right steps, take it slow, get this surgery over with it, and start rehabbing it, start getting the strength back.
Before we take our final step aside here on Wellness with Whiting, to look at football as a game where a lot of guys get cramps. You know, you'll see a bunch of guys down on the field, first game, second game, whatnot, but you'll see somebody go down on the field, you don't know, is it a major injury, but then they're working them out on the sideline and it ends up just being a cramp. What is attributed to this? I know you always talk about you got to drink lots of water to make sure you don't cramp up, but why is it happening so often? Why are we seeing so many people go down? Because you'll see it. A player goes down, and you don't know how serious the injury is. Then he or she is getting up and walking off the field or walking off the court without any help. So what's going on with cramping? Is it a huge issue in sports now, and how do you kind of look at where it comes from?
I don't think it's a huge issue. I mean, it's happened to anybody. You've probably woken up with that random calf cramp or foot cramp. It happens. It could be from dehydration. It could be from a mineral imbalance, whether it's your calcium, magnesium, potassium. Often you'll see people telling you to eat a banana, which is one good way for potassium. But other things need to be looked at, like your magnesium and your calcium levels. And why does it happen in pro athletes? They're playing so often and so much in extreme temperatures. You go down to Miami, Florida, you go to Arizona in this heat, this humidity where your body can't cool off, it's going to happen. You're going to get dehydrated. It's hard to keep that many fluids in your body. Sports drinks are good in a sense. I always recommend that you cut your sports drinks 50-50 water to Gatorade, Powerade, whatever drink you choose, unless you're doing something for more than than 2 or 4 hours, as you don't really need that much sugar, that much electrolytes. But other than that, staying hydrated is hard to take that much fluid in. That's why you see a lot of them getting IVs on the side. And once they get an IV, that's almost instantaneous. They'll get an IV at halftime and come back out. You've seen it with LeBron James with the calf cramps in basketball. So it's not, I don't think it's any more common than it ever has been. With just media and everything, you see it more often. Just gets brought up a lot. So I don't think it's a big issue. It just needs to be addressed. Their hydration level needs to be monitored by their coaches and staff.
Dr. Tim Whiting, a chiropractor in Central New York, an all-around wellness expert is what I'm going to call you. I know you're a humble person, but you've been able to help in a lot of different areas. We'll take a final step aside here on Wellness with Whiting on WakeUpCallDT.com, the free Wake Up Call DT app, and Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, the free podcast on iTunes. When we come back, we're tackling fantasy football, and we're going down this list that you can find by going to the team tab on WakeUpCallDT.com and scrolling down to Dr. Tim Whiting, chiropractor. That will give you all 32 teams' injury reports on the players that you need to look at for fantasy football anywhere, including in Central New York, where we proudly have 4 different fantasy football leagues, not teams, leagues, continuing to grow here in Syracuse under Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora. And thanks to Dr. Tim Whiting, chiropractor here in Central New York, for helping me to have the Wake Up Call injury report for you every single week of fantasy football. We'll be right back, and we're going to talk exactly about those injuries that are affecting fantasy football teams everywhere.
This is Dr. Tim Whiting of Sterp Chiropractic and Wellness Center. Here at Sterp Chiropractic, we strive to provide our patients with the highest quality of care in a comforting and welcoming atmosphere. We are not simply pain doctors. We spend time looking at the whole body and address each patient's needs and goals. This usually includes chiropractic adjustments, muscle work, and tips on nutrition and supplementation that fits each patient's needs. We want to develop a plan that promotes overall health and wellness and focuses on future injury prevention. Our office is located at 1628 West Genesee Street in Syracuse. Please give us a call at 315-472-7128 with any of your chiropractic or wellness needs. Hi, this is Dr. Tim Whiting with your tip of the week. Today we're talking ACL injuries. ACL injuries are becoming more common in sports today, often seen in basketball, football, and soccer, and occurring during non-contact incidents such as landing from a jump, planting, or quick cutting motions. Recent studies show that greater strength of the external rotators of the hip give you greater control of your knee and decreased risk of injury. Talk with your fitness professional on which exercises will help you train these muscles. For more tips and info, look for my link on WakeUpCallDT.com.
Back here on Wellness with Whiting on WakeUpCallDT.com, the free Wake Up Call DT app, and the free iTunes podcast, Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora. Going down the line here, you can see every single one of the 32 NFL teams on the team page, Dr. Tim Whiting, chiropractor. So go to the team tab, scroll down to Dr. Tim Whiting, chiropractor. Many of you have already 32 teams in alphabetical order, which helps you find easily all the players you need to find. And here's a great thing. I've sifted through all the injury reports, and I've minimized 100, 200, 300 players to like 60 for you. Now, it's going to change on different weeks, but I'm weeding out things to make it easier, and Dr. Tim Whiting is helping to make it easier as well with helping me to partner up on this Wake Up Call injury report we can use for any sport, and we're unveiling it with fantasy football. So we're going to go down the line here and to get Tim's opinion as a doctor on some of these issues. Arizona Cardinals running back, starting running back Andre Ellington, has a knee injury that is being called his PCL injury. They're saying he's only out 2 to 3 weeks. Makes sense, doesn't make sense for a PCL?
They're going to do their best to hide exactly what the injury is. They're calling it a PCL. It could be as simple as a contusion where they just see maybe increased blood flow around the area, showing that it was stressed but not torn. Or it could be one of those cases where I'm talking as maybe a partial tear. And again, not being as important as an ACL, especially in football, it's not as not under demand as much with the stopping and cutting thing as much as it is with direct contact. So 2 to 3 weeks, if it's a true injured PCL, I see that not being likely, but if it's a partially injured, maybe just a contusion or something, 2 to 3 weeks isn't bad. I'm looking more towards a month by the time he's back out there.
Atlanta Falcons kick returner and wide receiver Devin Hester. He has a toe injury. He's marked down as questionable with a toe injury. This is a guy who uses his feet a lot. I mean, obviously anybody on the field does, but his change of direction and everything that he is on the field. When you see toe injury for the NFL, for professional football and football in general, what does it have to be to make it questionable and not a serious injury if it's a toe, knowing that you're using it, obviously, all the time?
So, going through the list, what could it be? Could have stubbed it, could have a bruise, you could have dropped something on it, fracture, but they probably would have said foot or toe fracture if that was the case. Or commonly what you see is what's called turf toe. You get a lot of damage to the ligament of the big toe, and it gets inflamed and hard to run on. So that can be dependent on the person. If it's pain-free, it's moving better, if they can get out there that next week or not. Same thing if they stubbed it, jammed it, well, just like a finger or something, that it could be a week-to-week thing depending on how they feel and if they can get out there, and bruising, swelling, and all that aren't an issue. So it's really variable on what it is, but there seems like they're classifying as minimal, so it probably go week to week.
When you look at, you just brought up turf toe, there's an injury being called, it's the first time I've seen this, severe turf toe marked down as the injury for Washington Redskins backup tight end Logan Paulson. It said he's on IR and could miss the entire 2015 season. How do we define turf toe for the people that don't know it out there? And can severe turf toe really keep you out an entire season?
So turf toe is a term that's been coined to really diagnose anything that's going on with a big toe. A lot of times it's with things that happen in football, soccer, hence they get the turf, because it's more of a sticky substance when you go to plant and stuff. But a lot of it's constant impaction or stubbing the toe, and it's usually injury to the ligaments in the area. Problem with that is severe, they're grading them now, mild, moderate to severe. So sounds like you might have an actual tear in some of the ligaments. Problem with ligaments by themselves is that they have a poor blood supply. They don't like to heal very quickly, and they can elicit a lot of pain because they make that joint unstable, and they're constantly inflamed. And it being in the big toe, farthest joint away from your body, that complicates things even more to get proper blood flow to the area on top of it being a ligament. So now you kind of hit it twice with some negatives. So it could be a season ending injury, unfortunately, if it is a severe, you know, actual tear of the ligament.
Then we look at the hamstring. We talked about hamstrings a lot off the air, and it's going to be a growing thing, and it's a growing concern right now, as you and I spoke about, that there's not enough out there about them. Wide receiver DeSean Jackson, Washington Redskins, a lot of people drafted him. He has a hamstring injury after week one. He's out, could miss up to 4 weeks. And then you look at another player, another wide receiver, Mike Evans, hamstring injury for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and he goes questionable for the following week. So what are the levels of a hamstring injury, and how do you kind of view it? Because you'll see a bunch of guys on the injury report on the team page, Dr. Tim Whiting, chiropractor. Make sure you scroll down to that. When you look at the injury report, there's a bunch of hamstring questionables for the next week, and then there's someone like DeSean Jackson who they're saying, listen, he's going to be out for sure in week two, and as you move forward, then we'll see if he can come back.
So there's a whole grading system behind it. Physical therapists and athletic trainers are usually the ones that grade these a lot more often than I would, so they are definitely going to be the experts on this. With that being said, I think it takes the level of, or the severity of it would be, how much pain are they having, where is the pain occurring, and how much range of motion do they have, what can they do pain-free, and what causes them pain. So that's going to be my way of guiding that, me to think of what it is. You can have a strain of it more in the belly of the muscle, more in the meaty part of it, that's not as severe. It gets more blood supply. There's a lot more fibers there. It'll heal up a little bit faster. Problem is when you start getting towards the end, towards the knee or towards the butt, where there starts turning into those tendons, and similar to ligaments, those tendons have less blood supply, so they're going to take a little bit longer to heal. And then the player's pain level. Is it severe pain? Is it mild pain? Can you jog on it? Can you sprint on it? And then it comes down to re-injuring it. Are they going to be prone to re-injury if they go back on it too soon? And that's what we often see, is we've got season-ending, career-ending hamstring injuries. These people cannot get out of these reoccurrences happening. So it's a tough one, and the team doctors, the physical therapists, and trainers are going to be looking at these pretty consistently, I think, over the next couple of years. Something I've been reading, and I'll have you posted as well, this program that this one group of physical therapists went through, small study group, so it's hard to say determinately, but they were averaging about 12 days of rehab, and with only a 6% reoccurrence rate, which is pretty good considering you see it happen a lot. And you can read more into it when I give you the link to it. But it was kind of first day immobilizing it, second day more of compression, not immobilization, getting them out walking, jogging, then progressing them into certain exercises and stretches like butt kicks and knee to chest and things like that, and some adjunctive therapies and muscle work. So there is a protocol out there that they're claiming is going to be maybe the gold standard soon, but right now it's unfortunately player to player and team to team how they treat them.
When you look at concussions, Josh McCown on our injury report, Josh McCown, quarterback for the Cleveland Browns, he's questionable after a concussion. Deion Sims, tight end, Miami, questionable after a concussion. And then Ladarius Green, another tight end, this one for San Diego, questionable after a concussion. When you see that someone gets a concussion in a game and they're questionable for the following week, is a week enough time to come back from a concussion?
It can be. Again, just like anything else, they have grades, they have severities of them. And with the big talk on head injuries, neck injuries, and concussions lately in the NFL, doctors are going to be more in tune and in tune to it, and more likely to diagnose them as a concussion now, so they cover their own butts and make sure that player's not out there questionable or not. So it could be something just post-game. You had a little bit of dizziness, had a little bit of a headache, and within a day or two it goes away. They've got a lot of technology where they go through cognitive testing, balance testing, muscle testing to make sure everything's working properly. So as long as they go through all the right steps, they're passing all their tests like they're supposed to, it can be within a couple days that they're good, and you've seen them as long as months to even the season being out with it if it's severe, with neck involvement, head dizziness, concentration issues. So it can be a quick thing, or it can be a very long, tedious process.
And that's concussions we could do an entire show on, and I feel like we should. Coming forward here on Wellness with Whiting, before we wrap up, Dez Bryant, foot injury, Dallas Cowboys wide receiver. This is it's a killer, but they had such a good comeback win against the Giants that people kind of overlooked it a little bit. But the truth of the matter is Dez Bryant's out. It's being said to be a broken bone in his foot. Broken bone in the foot, 4 to 6 weeks is what they're saying he'll be out. When there's a broken bone, what's the process? Obviously, I'm guessing it, that, you know, with him, surgery immediately. I mean, 4 to 6 weeks, is that enough time?
I think it's going to be more than 6 weeks, personally. Bones take usually 2 to 3 months to fully heal after an injury. Not to mention they're going to go in with surgery. They're cutting his foot open. He's going to have those issues to deal with. They're putting a screw in there, which could actually help the healing process, reconnect those bones and stimulate that bone growth faster. So that might take a week or two off overall. But still, I'm looking more towards two and a half months before he's really back out there. The process, I mean, after a bone breaks, your body's going to attack it, try to kill the inflammation in the area, and then start that bone regrowing process. And then on top of it regrowing, now you've got to have that bone harden, and then the muscles and everything have to get back to strength around the area. So it is going to be a rehab process. And with that screw in there, is he going to lose mobility? Is he going to lose certain things that he's known for? Probably not, because it's the foot and not so much the ankle. But I'm looking at a little bit longer than what they're saying at 6 weeks.
Quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers backup, Bruce Gradkowski, hand injury, dislocated finger. He's on IR, injury reserve, will miss the entire 2015 season. Another guy with a hand injury, Julius Thomas, tight end coming from the Broncos to the Jaguars, expected to potentially be back a few weeks into the season. Dislocated finger, to me, doesn't, you know, for not being a doctor and kind of being the outside looking in, that doesn't scream to me loss of a whole season. Hand injury for Julius Thomas for, you know, 4 weeks or something might seem like a little bit much, too, with some other guys having hand injuries that only have them questionable. Can a dislocated finger on your throwing hand, I guess, for Bruce Gradkowski as a quarterback, can that really keep you out for, I mean, what we look at, 17 weeks?
I don't think a dislocation will keep you out that long. A lot of times a dislocated finger can be addressed right on the sideline by a trainer, by a paramedic, or somebody of that nature, and reduce it quickly. And that's the key to it, getting any kind of dislocation, getting it reduced quickly so the ligaments aren't under excessive strain, the muscles don't go into spasm around the area, and you have a lot of other issues that go on. Once it's reduced, then it's just really soft tissue damage you got to worry about. Can they move it? Is it okay? And they might take the precaution of taping it, giving it a little more stability, taping it to another finger. And on a quarterback, if they tape it, if it's a throwing hand, it can be a little bit longer of a process before they get it back and can throw consecutively, get those snaps without jamming the finger up again. So you're going to be worrying about that. With the receiver, you know, with the gloves they have nowadays, and they partially immobilize a finger or something, they probably won't be out for that long. But if it's more of a broken bone in a hand, a torn ligament in a hand, a tendonitis, you could be looking at a lot more pain, a lot more issue trying to get that hand up and catching those balls that are whipped in there pretty hard. So, you know, again, severity depending, yes, and also position depending. It's not going to put a kicker out for a while, but, you know, a long snapper, a quarterback, and a receiver that have to have that all the time, or a big lineman can wrap it up and cast it basically and still go. So it's going to be very dependent on the position. So the quarterback, hopefully he'll get back out there soon, and as a receiver, hopefully it's not too severe and they can get out there. And also,
two more quick questions on Wellness with Whiting, looking at the Fantasy Football Wake-Up Call Injury Report, proudly presented by Dr. Tim Whiting of Stirp Chiropractic and Wellness Center. Kevin White, wide receiver from West Virginia, comes out, gets drafted, goes to the Chicago Bears in the first round. Early pick, he gets hurt in the preseason. He has a shin injury, and he is potentially missing all of 2015. What about a shin, and what does it have to be to take him out for a year?
A couple things that can go wrong. Your classic shin splints when you're a runner and you get the pain along there, you get swelling. It could be a partial fracture, a hairline fracture, if you got direct contact to it. It could be more of a contusion, where if he got hit on it, it could be an actual bone bruise, and that could be an issue because he's constantly going to be getting a hit. So that might be more of what it is. I'm leaning towards, if it's season ending, it's either partially fractured or a bone contusion, which can honestly take longer to heal than a fracture can sometimes. So I'm looking more towards that than anything else. Muscle, tendons, really not many tendons in the area, but a lot of muscles in there, and those would heal up quickly. So I'm looking towards a bone contusion or possible fracture that could end that.
Giants wide receiver Victor Cruz is being marked down with a calf injury. Patellar tear is what they have on there right now. He's out indefinitely. So when you hear patellar tear, you hear calf, what are we looking at when he has no timetable right now?
Yeah, so indefinitely, you know, you're looking at calf injury. They're keeping that under wraps. It's not the most important thing. That's, you know, maybe, I doubt an Achilles thing, because they would have listed it as Achilles tendon thing. So calf, probably just a strain to the gastroc muscle.
But not they're two totally big, different injuries, yeah, right? Yeah, patellar tear,
yeah,
and the calf.
Yeah, so calf, not a big issue. He's already out for the season, so really not. But your patellar issue, you know, depending on how they're labeling it, if it's the tendon, your whole quad muscle on the front of your upper leg wraps down and connects to your kneecap, and that's what holds that in place, and that's what causes that kicking motion when you extend your knee out. So if that tendon ruptures, again, similar to like an Achilles tendon, it's a huge one, most likely surgical repair if it's a complete tear. But if it's a patella, that's the bone there on your knee, your kneecap, you know, it could be fractured, it could have a contusion, something like that. So that's going to be a lot longer process, especially being somebody that's got to run and at his speed, his velocity, has to stop, make cuts. That's going to be a process that could be the entire year, similar to an Achilles tendon issue.
This is a bonus for you, quarterback Geno Smith, to finish everything up. He has a jaw injury from a fight that happened in a locker room before the season even started, well before the season started, with one of his teammates. Geno Smith, at the quarterback position with a jaw injury, is being stated as maybe being out for 10 weeks, up to 10 weeks, with a jaw injury. Why jaw? What would keep a quarterback with a jaw injury out 10 weeks?
Most likely fracture. You get hit like that in the side of the face, there's most likely going to be a fracture of the mandible or the maxilla. They really didn't discuss what it was. But it could have been even a partial dislocation, but most likely he had a bone fracture. So just like anything else, you're looking at eight weeks to heal, and then another couple to really fully get its strength and stuff back. And being a quarterback, you know, I can't imagine being comfortable, you know, bouncing around in the pocket all the time, getting jarred around, hit and stuff, especially with the helmet on and the chin strap on, constantly pushing pressure up on that. So it's not going to be a comfortable injury. If he came back this season, most likely you're going to see him sitting out and coming back next year.
That's all coming from Dr. Tim Whiting, chiropractor. You can find him on the team page. Go to the team tab on wakeupcalldt.com. Scroll down to Dr. Tim Whiting, chiropractor. Thank you to everybody that is listening in, everyone that has been on the page, and everyone that continues to boost up everything that's put out about Dr. Tim Whiting. He may be one of the most famous people I've ever put on social media. So Central New York, you have taken to him, and I appreciate that you have, and I thank you for that. Make sure you get out to Dr. Tim Whiting at Stirp Chiropractic and Wellness Center, and that's where we'll end, to let everybody know the address of Stirp Chiropractic as well as the phone number from Tim right here.
Yeah, so Stirp Chiropractic and Wellness Center, you can Google us or you can find us at 1628 West Genesee Street in Syracuse, New York. Our phone number is 315-472-7128.
That coming from Dr. Tim Whiting. This is Wellness with Whiting. So for Tim Whiting and myself, Dan Tortora, we'll talk to you soon. Hopefully this helps you with your fantasy football teams and who you're looking at in the waiver wire. There's so much more to come. Also happy we got to talk about Terrell Hunt a little bit and cramping, which seems to be an issue with college and professional football. And as we go forward, there will be plenty more. And we'll take your questions as well if you have anything you'd like to hear on the show. Wellness with Whiting, helping everyone everywhere, just by being humble, being honest, doing a little bit of research, and obviously doing a good job. I want to thank Dr. Tim Whiting again. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks, Tim.
Thank you.